Bibles together. We're going to be in Psalm 122 for the first little while. We'll get some other verses here in just a little while. Psalm 122. I'd like to welcome so many of you here this morning. We do have several of our members back, and we have fall break. I know for Athens City Schools, so several were out of town. Several are getting back into town today, so we are thankful that you are back with us. We do have several visitors. We're thankful for you. We pray that while you're here, you see, as we'll talk about today, a group of God's people that are family that want to worship together and be together and grow together. And we'll have plenty to say on that here in just a few minutes. I did want to bring something to y'all's attention. I guess I maybe just overlooked something. I was told there was only one adult class for this quarter upstairs. But it was brought to my attention there's also a singing class downstairs. So I went ahead and put that in the bulletin. But now Steve and Dwight will know if you leave their class and go downstairs. It's them. No, I'm kidding. Just wanted to bring that to your attention, too. Sorry for overlooking that. Steve started talking about the bright orange tree that he saw. I for sure thought there was a Tennessee joke in there somewhere coming, but you see a lot more orange today than is typical, but we'll blame it on maybe fall, and you're just bringing out your fall colors. It was a bad day for me. All my teams lost. Auburn, USC. I came ready with all my Braves jokes, and then the Dodgers are out too. So we can just cry together this year, but man, it's so good to be with you today. We started a series a couple weeks ago called The Trojan Horse. And just little things that I believe that I've seen through my 12 years of being a preacher that have somehow just creeped into God's people. Things that, as I'm about to be done, things I wanted to just leave you, some things to remember. We talked about being complacent and being active in the Lord's work. And today we're going to talk about something that I think Psalm 122 just speaks to beautifully. And it's a verse, especially verse 1. I preached on this psalm several times in my time here, but it's something that I think can just be talked about over and over and over again. Because when you think about what is being written there by David in Psalm 122 and being part of the family, it doesn't actually mention family in this psalm, but there's so many pictures of what God's people look like. And we call God's people the children of Israel. And we'll look at the children of God today in just a few moments. But David has so many great things to say about this psalm. We're not going to reread the whole thing. Tim read it to us as our scripture reading just a few moments ago. It's not a very long psalm. But we'll have some things to say about some of these verses as we go through today. Probably the most popular of verse of Psalm 122 is just that first one there. That's where most of us will read and then stop because it's the famous verse of the psalm, and it's even on one of our back walls when you walk in the back doors upstairs here. But it's there in verse 1 where it says, I rejoice, or I was glad to me. My version says, I rejoice with those who said to me, let us go to the house of the Lord. And I want you to get this picture here as you start this psalm, as we kind of want to wrap our minds around this idea of a family and what David is trying to get across with the children of Israel here. But in verse 1 here, you get this sense of a homecoming, don't you? This idea of, let us go. He says, I was glad when they said to me, let us go to the house of the Lord. But it's something that we do together. And to me, when you see that, let us go, there's this camaraderie, there's this family atmosphere to going to the house of the Lord. That, you know, when we get ready to go Sunday morning, you might be getting ready with your own personal family. Some of our houses probably look a little more chaotic on Sunday mornings than some of yours. But we're with our own personal families, and we're getting our families ready. But then when we come here, you see the larger family, the bigger family, and it says, let us go. I was glad when they said to me, let us go to the house of the Lord. We're going together. And the sense I get from David here is he loved being with the Lord, but he also loved being with the Lord's people. There was rejoicing. There was gladness when he can go to God's house to serve God and be with God's people. But really what you start seeing, and that's really the extent of what a lot of people know about this psalm, Psalm 122 and verse 1, but what you start seeing is that's just the introduction to a bigger picture of what God's family really looks like. So when you look at verses 2 through 5, you start seeing the idea of Jerusalem. He'll use the idea of Jerusalem, the city of Jerusalem, which is where, they have the tabernacle, and they're moving the tabernacle. He wants to bring the temple to Jerusalem, where God would dwell. But you start getting this picture of what the church is like. And so notice some of the things he says. Like in verse 2, he says, when they're going to the house of the Lord, he says, "Our feet are standing within your gates, O Jerusalem." And again, you get this picture of just this camaraderie, don't you? That when they come to the house of the Lord, they're all coming, they're standing together. I want you to get this mental picture. Now, of course, when David writes this, there is no temple. But imagine them coming to the tabernacle where God is dwelling among his people. And remember, only a certain few can go into the tabernacle, let alone the most holy place, just one time of year. And so the whole congregation would come, and they would approach the tabernacle, and they would stand all the way around it. In fact, there's instructions in the Old Testament on where the tribes were supposed to stand, on what side. These three tribes stood on the east, these stood on the west, these stood on the north, and so forth. And so here they come as an entire congregation, as an entire group of people, and he says, "Our feet were standing within your gates." Also an image of just being in God's presence. That as we come here today on the first day of the week, we're not coming to a tabernacle, and each one according to their tribe, sitting or standing on one side of the tabernacle, but we're coming to this building. Where really there's no significance in these four walls. It's the people that are coming together in the presence of God, which is what David is portraying here. They're standing within your gate. He goes on in verse 3 and says, "Jerusalem, built as a city, should be solidly united," or standing together. The New King James Version says that they were built together, built compact together. I like how this version says it to be, "Jerusalem built as a city should be, solidly united." When you think of God's people, there's unity. There's togetherness. That we are told as a New Testament church, we are being built up as spiritual blocks, one upon the other. Built on the foundation that first started with the chief cornerstone of Jesus Christ, that was built on the apostles, the teachers that come after them. And the Christians that come after them. And then here we are, we're being built together. That's what the family of God should look like. Have you ever played that game, Jenga? Where you build up all the blocks and they're all tight, compact together at first. And slowly but surely you start pulling one out, and the whole game is to not get the thing to fall, right? Now, you take one block out, that's fine. No one really loses on the first turn unless you pull one from the bottom, maybe, the foundation. But as you go and you keep pulling those blocks out, it becomes a little more unstable. You start seeing the gaps in the building of the blocks to where eventually even just one, as it's pulled out, will make the whole thing come tumbling down. And what I see here, when he talks about this city, this group of people that is solidly united, built as a city should be, I think of that big old tower of blocks where there's not one gap, not one piece missing. But unfortunately, what happens is the devil creeps in, just like that Trojan horse we've been talking about the last several weeks. The Trojan horse comes in, sin comes in, wolves in sheep clothing come in. Attitudes, egos, opinions, whatever we want to say, they start chipping away at the blocks, and eventually the blocks will start spreading out. Blocks go missing. And eventually there could be a fall. But what David says about God's people, they should be built as a city should be, solidly united. He takes that one step further in verse 4 where he says, "The tribes, the Lord's tribes, go up to give thanks in the name of the Lord. There is an ordinance in Israel that they are unified. They go up together." The tribes come together to give thanks to the Lord. And I wonder, when they give thanks to the Lord. We see their sacrifices in the Old Testament. We don't really offer sacrifices today as God's people. But you know, when we come together here, we come to worship, we come to praise. You heard it in some of our prayers already this morning. We also come to give thanks. To give thanks for this family. We're entering a time of thanksgiving in this country, where we come together as family. Where we're mindful of all the things that we're thankful for. When we come together as a church family, how often do we just look around and we're thankful? Thankful for the people sitting in the pews around us. Thankful for teachers, for leaders. Thankful for the children. Tommy mentioned the kids singing some of those songs. Just to give thanks to God. Praise Him. Yes, we praise Him in our worship. We looked at that a little bit last week. The purpose of the church. We worship. We glorify. But here they came together in unity. And today we come together in unity to study God's Word, to sing songs, to pray, to give thanks to our God. And we come before, he says in verse 5, we come before the mighty throne of God, the Almighty Judge. That's a humbling experience. And then those last few verses, I want you to notice, you know, these verses here, verses 2 through 5, talk about coming before God and what we do with God, the praise, the worship, the glory, the honor, the coming together, and the unity of doing that with God and for God. But then he turns the attention and the focus on God's people in verses 6 through 9. And I want you, I'm just going to ask this question on to summarize those few verses. It's almost like, how should we treat each other? I am going to read these verses straight through. I want you to listen to what is said here. He says in verse 6, pray for the well-being or the peace of Jerusalem. May those who love you be secure. May there be peace within your walls, security within your fortresses. Because of my brothers and friends, I will say, may peace be in you. Because of the house of the Lord our God, I will pursue your prosperity. I want you to think about David's attitude towards his fellow brethren, towards the fellow children of Israel in the city of Jerusalem here. He says something that I think we all want. He says, I pray for the well-being of Jerusalem, and then he prays for two things. He prays for peace. I pray that there is peace within your walls, he says. And he would take that one step further and add security within your fortresses. Think about your own family for just a moment before you think about the church family. You want to see a happy home, you're going to see a home with peace and security. Maybe we're not always good at pursuing those things in our families. But you want to see a happy church family who is doing all the things we talked about last week with glorify and supply and multiply and all those things we talked about last week. It's going to be a group of God's people that pray for peace for one another. That, as Jesus said in the Sermon on the Mount, blessed are the peacemakers that go make peace. Not turn the other way when you don't agree with somebody who's still worshiping in the same building as you. He says, I pray for peace within your walls. We talked about this a few weeks ago as well. Heaven is going to be a place of perfect peace and perfect rest. Peace that surpasses all understanding. And if we can't have peace within God's family, then how do we expect to have it up there? But that's what David calls us to do. He says, I pray for your peace and security within your fortresses. And really, at the end of the day, what he's getting across here, that I'm just going to summarize it as, is we should want what's best for each other. And that's what he's trying to get across. I pray for the well-being of Jerusalem. I want what's best for God's people. for the city of God, for his children. I want what's best for them. Again, think about your own children, your own family. What do we say from the time they're little babies? They can do whatever they want to do. I just want what's best for them. They can be whatever they want to be when they grow up, but I want what's best for them. I want them to do what's best for themselves. We're going to do what's best for this family. We're going to make the best decision we can for this family. Which job should I take? We're going to do what's best for the family. Should I move? Should I not move? We're going to do what's best for this family. David's mindset towards the family of God, I'm going to pray for your well-being, for what's best. Notice he didn't say, I'm going to pray for what I want. Sometimes what's best might not be what we want. But he says, I'll pray for the well-being of Jerusalem, for your peace and security. And I love what he says in verse 9. He says, because of the house of the Lord our God, I will pursue your prosperity. New King James Version says, I will see your good. Notice, after all this, why David was so glad to go to the house of the Lord. Again, that's the one verse that we like to stick to. I was glad when they said to me, let us go into the house of the Lord. But do you see why now he was glad to go to the house of the Lord? It's not just a cute saying we can put on a pillow or on a back wall, which are great things, because that's a great mindset. But he goes much deeper than just, I'm glad to be here today. There was nothing in it for him. Did you notice that? He didn't say, I am so glad to be here today because it's the song leader that I love. I was glad to go to the house of the Lord today because the preacher preached a lesson that made me feel good. He says, I was glad to go to the house of the Lord because I get to go and be within God's presence with God's people. He gets to forge deeper relationships with God and God's children. It was all about being with his God and worshiping his God and praising his God. It was about having unity with God's people and camaraderie with God's people, love for God's people, doing good, seeking good for God's people. That all popular verse in the book of Hebrews, don't forsake the assembly, as is the manner of some, that has been taught, you better be here or else, for generations. But directly after that it says, so that you can encourage and uplift the saints. We don't come here to check off the box on our to-do list and say, well, I did what mom and dad taught me to do while I was growing up. Or I did it and I dressed nice and I looked good while doing it and I made my presence so people can see. We come here to worship God as a family. We come here to encourage God's people. Because if we come here thinking that we have it all figured out, we have it all wrong. I would say that there is not a person here today, myself included, that has it all figured out. I need to be here because I need God's encouragement and God's people's encouragement. And I have a feeling so do you. And when you look at the life David led, David wasn't a man who had it all figured out. He didn't have all the answers. Yes, he was king and he had a lavish lifestyle, but you know what? He also had some pretty messed up things in his life, like major sin. Having a good friend killed in the line of battle. Losing children too young. Having children try to kill him and overthrow his government. And so I wonder now why he said, I was glad to go to the house of the Lord. Because I can go and be with people of God. And I can be in God's presence. It was not about what songs were being sung, or the preacher who was preaching, or the sermon that was too long, which I know I'm buttoned up on time, or the prayers that were too long. They weren't messing around. David wasn't wishing to be somewhere else. He wasn't fulfilling his duty on Sunday morning, so he could not come back Sunday or Wednesday night. David wanted to be there because of his genuine love for God and his people. Now I'm going to say that's a two-way street. That's an attitude that only we can work on ourselves. That's an attitude that I need to have when I enter these doors, when I wake up on Sunday morning and say, I'm excited to go to the house of the Lord. I want to be with God. I want to be with His people. But I will say, it's also on the entire congregation to make this place a place where people will say, I am glad to go to that congregation and be with God's people. Because trust me, I've been a part of some congregations where I was not glad to go be a part of God's people. I'll never forget, I walked in somewhere, this was an interview a long time ago, not here, don't worry. And I interviewed, I did my lesson, no one spoke to me before except the guy I was staying with. And as I go, I went and stood towards the back so I could get to know people. I thought, I'm going to be working here, I want to get to know the people, I want to get to understand them a little bit. People just walked by and just kind of did this. One lady spoke to me after I preached that morning. And remember, I'm trying out to go move there, and Rook and I weren't married yet, but I think we were engaged, so we were trying to decide, is this the best place to start our family and to be together and start a marriage and all those things. One lady said, oh man, we can use you. This congregation, we're just dead and we need something. I thought, wow, you must be like a marketing major because this is the best advertisement I've ever seen. Hey, and you know what? No congregation is perfect. There are some places that they might just need a little kick, and that's okay. But I've always kept that in the back of my mind and said, I cannot be the only person that has walked in there as a visitor and said, I don't think I want to come back here. I didn't see a group that was excited to be there for God and to be with God's people. Hey, you want to say we need help? I understand. That's great. Sometimes we do. But when I could see it before she even said it, that's something we should all focus on and where we are. I want you to turn with me. We're going to end here. John chapter 1. John chapter 1. In this great text about Jesus and the Word and Him coming, this is what it says about those who believe in Jesus. We're going to start reading verse 10. It says, He was in the world and the world was created through Him, yet the world did not recognize Him. He came to His own and His own people did not receive Him. But to all who did receive Him, He gave them the right to be children of God, to those who believe in His name, who were born not of natural descent, or of the will of the flesh, or of the will of man, but of God. I sometimes think about those few verses there, about what it means to be family. Most of you know that our personal family, you see our family, we don't all look alike in our family of six. Some are born into our family. And some are, as John puts it here, not of natural descent. But there's not a day that goes by where I don't look at every single one of my kids and say, they're mine. And then I think about God and His family. On a scale much larger than four children in an individual home, He looks over the thousands and thousands of people who, as He says here in verse 12, those who receive Jesus, He has given us the right to be His children. We may not look alike. We may not always act alike. We may not always act the right way. But we are children of God. And there are children of God meeting all over the world today. Some who can sit in comfy pews, who have air conditioning and a PowerPoint to look at. Some son who can't afford shoes just to walk the 6 miles it takes to get to their one congregational meeting on Sunday. Son who grew up in poverty that you and I can't even imagine. There are some who are already enjoying the glory of heaven because they've walked this earth hundreds, maybe over 1,000 years ago. And there are some, if the Lord wills, that 1,000 years later, if that's the time we have left here, they're going to look back on us in 2022 and say, 1,000 years ago, there were Christians, and they were meeting, and they were worshiping. One day I'll get to see them in heaven. To all who did receive him, he gave the right to be children of God. To those who believe in his name. You might be here today, and you've never considered what God's family really is. I hope you see it in this church family. I hope you continue to see it in this church family. I hope that as we transition to a different phase in this church family, you see a group of God's people that stand together, that remain united, that continue to love, continue to work and serve. Because at the end of the day, we're all children of God. We all want to be in heaven. That's our goal. And I hope to see you all there. If there's something we can do for you today, whether it's for you to become a child of God through the water of baptism and rise up in newness of life, we want to do that for you. We want to give you that opportunity. But maybe you're here today, like many of us, we've made that decision and we just need to come back to the family. We've let ourselves wander away like that prodigal son. We need to come home. This is your opportunity. If we can do anything for you this morning, come forward as we stand, as we sit.
Song.